Well, this coming Monday, August 19th, the Democrats will gather in Chicago for what they hope will be a big love fest. But I expect some very significant surprises.
So your brother's bound and gagged, and they've chained him to a chair. Won't you please come to Chicago just to sing? In a land that's known as freedom, how can such a thing be fair? Won't you please come to Chicago for the help that we can bring?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to Truth to Ponder, and I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I was thinking just the other day about the upcoming convention in Chicago for the Democrats as they prepare to nominate their candidate for the 2024 presidential election. And even though I was only in my teens at the time, I do remember a lot of 1968. It's not so much that I was super politically or news aware. It's where I live for part of the year. And living in the metropolitan New York area, you had a tremendous amount of newspapers, magazines, and radio and TV stations that I was exposed to. And so I'd gotten into the habit of actually reading newspapers at a young age. Not that I understood everything that I was reading, but I became pretty aware of things going on in the world. Even at my young teen years, I'm concerned about things like war, the Vietnam War in particular, because it won't be that many years before I could be drafted. As I'm entering high school, these thoughts become part of who you are. 1968 was one extremely turbulent and unusual year. And really, 2024 and even 2020, for that matter, have also been those kind of over-the-top years, the year 2001. We've had some very strange times and very strange years and very strange politics that have reared their ugly head. Even as a youngster, I could remember vividly the day that I heard that President Kennedy had been assassinated. Our grandparents had come up once at my mother's side from South Carolina to visit us in Long Island in New York. And it was on a day that we were taking a drive to Jones Beach. It was November, but just to take a drive with my grandfather, who was explaining that when you drive 60 miles an hour, you're going a mile a minute. I remember that to this day. And he had the radio on. I don't even know what radio station. Probably, knowing my grandfather, probably something like WNEW that plays, you know, the standards, or did at the time. And there was the news flash, the bulletin, that President Kennedy had been assassinated in Texas. And I didn't even understand at that point in my life the true depth of the meaning of the word assassination, but as my grandfather said, the president is dead. He's been killed. And I can remember watching over the next several days all of the pomp and circumstance regarding a presidential funeral. The casket being carried in a caisson, the little Kennedy children saluting. All of these are vivid memories. I can also remember now in my mind, and this is important to put into the background of what I'm about to get into. You can see the pictures of Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis now, or Jacqueline Kennedy at the time, bloodstains on her dress, as Lyndon Johnson is installed, that's the word I choose to use, took the oath of office to become the President of the United States. Now, to this day, most people, myself included, as I got older, into high school, into college, and over the years, I always had a bad feeling about what we were being told about the Kennedy assassination that occurred in November of 1963. It just didn't add up. I mean, here we are. It's been 60 years, over 60 years now. 61 years this November. And I still remember it as a child. I can remember the Cuban Missile Crisis. And increasingly, the bad feelings that I've had about that assassination are increasingly becoming a reality as things gradually have leaked over these decades. That maybe some of these so-called conspiracy theories were not so much a conspiracy theory after all. I can remember somebody teasing that the difference between reality and a conspiracy theory is sometimes measured in weeks or maybe a year or two. And that is really becoming increasingly true in our time. You know, trying to get accurate information on anything anymore is becoming more difficult, especially with artificial intelligence intervening and getting in the middle of our media these days and creating false narratives, false pictures, false hopes, false dreams, and a fake news story that people are believing. Lyndon Johnson, I think, was the candidate choice of the, shall we say, the deep state at the time. It became obvious early on in the Camelot or Kennedy administration, it was called Camelot in the day, that there was some, shall we say, he and his brother Bobby were not exactly going to play ball with the establishment that was deeply entrenched in Washington, D.C. And I firmly believe that Dwight Eisenhower explained the reality to the incoming president about the military-industrial complex. Now, all of this, we know the Chicago convention is next week, and I just wanted to lay some groundwork here. 1968 was when Lyndon Johnson was supposed to run for his second term. He had become vice president in 1963, ran very successfully against Barry Goldwater in 1964. I can remember as a kid watching this convention on television and seeing the first portable TV cameras that, you know, weighed about 90 pounds or something that were being used at that convention. And then, of course, the election, Johnson wins. And in no time, we are escalating the Vietnam War and getting involved in the formerly what's known as the Indochina region. And over the 4 years that Johnson had in his first term that he won in an election, he gave us the Great Society, started spending tremendous amounts of money, and escalated a war. It all started a process of making groups of people dependent upon the United States government, because that means that they will be perpetual voters for a particular political party. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, you can find in the archives actual telephone recordings. And I mentioned this last week. It was the telephone recording system in the White House that actually did in Richard Nixon to a degree when we found out there were tapes of telephone calls, that all telephone calls were recorded and transcribed. Lyndon Johnson had that system. And the language that he used, I cannot repeat on any kind of a radio program, and even if I could, I wouldn't. His feelings about, shall we say, the black race at the time, what he thought about them as being perpetual voters. If we pass this legislation telling everybody to pass my civil rights bill, these people will be voting for us for the next 200 years. That's where things were. But they pushed really hard on too many things at one time. Between 1965 and the convention of 1968. The war was increasingly becoming unpopular. Lyndon Johnson had figured out in March he didn't have a chance of winning legitimately, and I don't think they had perfected the ability of election stealing like they have today. They've had almost 60 years to do it. And he made the decision not to run. And it's probably just as well. He never would have lived out his term because he really died within 4 years. I mean, he died in January of 1969, shortly after he would have finished his term. And I think that having been in office, the stress on his heart would have been higher and he would never have made it through. And then Hubert Humphrey would have actually, he was the vice president, been the president. See, I want you to understand this little bit of background real quick. We're almost done. Then I'll get on to my thinking. And there's some stories you got to hear. Johnson chose not to run. Hubert Humphrey became the nominee, and it was a messy convention in Chicago with protesters and anger and angst. The likes had never been seen. Mayor Daley at the time, the Chicago Democrat machine, being accused of having a police force full of thugs. And you talk about some anger and riots and blood and gore and cursing and just burning and looting. It happened in 1968. And you want to know something? I think the undercurrents today, even though we don't hear them as loudly at the moment today, are boiling under the surface. And I think Chicago is not going to be a love fest next week. I just have a feeling. Look, if you've listened to this program a long time, you know I rarely try to make any predictions. I don't give any kind of prophetic message because I don't consider myself worthy to be a prophet of God. But I will tell you this much. My instincts often are somewhat correct. And I'm seeing things coming together for Chicago that just don't feel right. Will this be the coronation of Queen Nancy and her court jester, Tim Walz, as president and vice president for the ticket for the Democrat Party? Or is something else going to happen? The situation in the Middle East has got a lot of people of Muslim descent and people that are Islamic in their faith very upset. And in the nearby Chicago area, there are 850,000 of them. It's a lot. It's a huge population in parts of Illinois and, of course, Michigan. In much of what we call the Rust Belt these days, has got a significant Islamic presence. I was reading a story the other day, and you go into Western New York, Buffalo, another what I call a rusted-out city. Beautiful church built probably in the 1800s, just phenomenal in its day with the stained glass windows and the big spires. It's in a declining neighborhood, and over the years, the congregation shrank, and then there was some damage to one of the big spires, and they never could afford to fix it. They just kind of patched it up. And this massive cathedral-sized building sold for a mere $250,000 in Buffalo, New York, and is now being converted into an Islamic mosque. This is the world in which we live. We have more potential instability and fissures, as they would say, with an earthquake around us. Not one big one, but a lot of small ones. And when they begin to react with each other, it's going to be very chaotic. I read a story the other day, and I got thinking about this. Could it be true? Could it be possible? And there was an interview. There was an interview in his first interview since he was clearly ousted from the 2024 race. President Biden specifically mentioned former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Now, this was on CBS News Sunday morning. And saying that the Democrats in the House and the Senate thought he would drag down the entire party's chances of reelection. In other words, Biden is clearly saying that he was forced out of the election. He was forced out of the election.
Look, the polls we had showed that It was neck and neck race. We'd have been down to the wire. But what happened was a number of my Democratic colleagues in the House and Senate thought that I was going to hurt them in the races. And I was concerned if I stayed in the race, that would be the topic. You'd be interviewing about why did Nancy Pelosi say, why did so... And I thought it'd be a real distraction.
Okay, that's what he says on CBS News, that he thought it might be a distraction. And that's why he is, you know, suspended his campaign and for the time being stepped aside. But you want to know something? There's something about what he said and something that Nancy Pelosi recently said that I find very disturbing. And it got me thinking. Now, follow with me for just a moment. I'm not saying this is going to happen. But the way things have gone these past few years, past 4 years, nothing, I mean nothing, surprises me anymore. It may sound absurd, but there are times that I wonder, and looking at the 1968 convention and when things just went disastrous around the convention hall and the riots and the police response, it was brutal. I mean, people were bloodied up and it was pretty bad. It did not look good on television in 1968. And I know the Democrat Party just sincerely wants this to be nothing but just a love fest and happy days are here again and remember the great things we did as a Democrat Party over the centuries, you know, since the 1800s. They want it to be all about the little guy and they want it to be about a bright and brilliant future where everybody just gets along and sings that old song from Coca-Cola, like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'm not even going to play it, but you know what I'm talking about. But something is not adding up. This is what Biden says now. But then again, I generally take much of what Joe Biden says and has said in the last 50 years with a grain of salt, because he does have a tendency to lie or just obscure the truth. So on the surface, I don't believe him. I truly don't. I really think that he was kind of lying when he made that statement. And I think he's just trying to appease things for the moment to keep the focus off of him, at least for today. I really don't think that Jill Biden wants him to get out of the race. I don't think that Hunter Biden can afford to have him out of the race. And I think the Democrats are not that thrilled about having Kamala Harris in the race. Let's stop and pause on that for a moment. Miss Word Salad, she can't speak off a teleprompter. As a candidate in 2020, she was the first to drop out because she had the worst record in being supported in the early voting in the primary. She was just rejected by Democrat voters out of hand. They didn't want her. And they pretend they still want, now they try to pretend that everybody can't wait to get her in office. And I, look, she's never won a primary. She didn't have to go through a primary this time. Everything about what occurred just is totally suspect to me. People that have been around Washington longer than most, people that I respect, people that have generally been able to kind of see through the fog and the nonsense, the spin that is put out there to confuse you and I, they're thinking, you know, Joe Biden, his handlers, not so much Joe Biden himself, let's make that real clear right now, his handlers, those that are pushing the agenda, those that are really controlling things at the White House, those that are in the White House today do not get along at all with Kamala Harris. There is a huge rift between the White House and the vice presidential staff and the vice president. They do not get along. Don't think for a moment they do. It's all political theater. It's all kabuki theater to make you think that everything is fine. The speculation is those in power, some may think it's even Barack Obama and others, have looked at the numbers and they felt the risk of Joe Biden losing was vastly too high and the ability to overcome the spread between the votes in various key states was going to be insurmountable no matter how much they tried to stuff the ballot box. Remember 2016, I really believe they tried to stuff it then. They just didn't stuff it enough. And then with the pandemic, they had an opportunity where it worked, at least in 2020. But people aren't feeling the same way today. And then it goes back to what Joe Biden said, which I really don't trust. But then again, Nancy Pelosi made a recent statement. And somebody really pointed it out. You know, Nancy Pelosi, to me, is an enigma. And she, I think, kind of admitted that Joe was, you know, Joe Biden was overthrown unwillingly. And some people are speculating that she might be setting the stage for Biden to rescind the letter that he wrote to get back in the race. I kid you not. There are people that think that. And there's a part of me that kind of is inclined to think they might be right. And it goes back to, and once again, she's in this interview, and there's something about her when she gets in a certain way, and, you know, sometimes she sounds sober, and sometimes she sounds a little like she's slightly lacking in sobriety when she talks. And this was one of those times. And maybe I'm reading too much into this, but something is telling me that Biden may not really want to have stepped aside. And a lot of people say, well, you know, part of the issue was that back after, look, after the, they set Biden up by pushing for this early debate, convincing him they could have him prepared to make him such a hero in Trump because now you can keep using the word convicted felon. You know, you can't lose. It was really a test to see if Biden could make it through the race. And then they could begin to figure how to substitute a new candidate. Now, this is my theory. And you don't have to believe it. I don't expect everybody to believe it, but I want you to at least consider this. In order to get rid of Joe Biden, he either had to step aside willingly or they had to have a threat over his head to make him leave. I honestly believe two things occurred. He was threatened with having his vice president assemble his cabinet and invoke the 25th Amendment because of the performance of his debate and everything else that had gone on. You know, you could have MSNBC saying one day cheap fakes and the next day he's got to go. I mean, in other words, the media is compliant. They'll do whatever they're ordered to do by their slave masters. And that's what they are. They're just MSNBC are just slaves to the Democrat National Committee, whatever they want. And they get paid well to be liars. And that's all they do. And so does NBC and CBS, all of them. They work in unison and total lockstep with each other. There's no investigative journalism anymore. It's just that they wait for the phone call and the email or the fax, whatever they're using these days, to be told what the marching orders are for the day. But Nancy Pelosi, I think, when she's hit the Chardonnay down there in Napa Valley one too many times, the truth tends to kind of leak out of her mouth. And I want you to listen closely to what she said, and then I'm going to give you my feelings. That, I mean, this is why Chicago may not be the big love fest. And you have to wonder, and I'm going to be doing some more research this week. I have some unanswered questions. But when I heard this, in light of what Joe Biden said, it goes back to the numbers simply don't add up.
I didn't accept the letter as anything but a letter. I mean, I mean, and another, there are some people who were unhappy with the letter. Let me say, some said that some people were unhappy with the letter. I'll put it in somebody else's mouth. Because it was a, I don't even know, it didn't sound like Joe Biden to me. It really didn't.
Now, like I say, maybe I'm reading too much into this. Maybe some other people the same. But it seems rather suspicious, unless she had one too many, you know, glasses of wine down there at the vineyard and is just, you know, talking and making up nonsense. But she made the statement that she just thought the letter was a letter, like it was unofficial. And a lot of people made the same statement, too, because it wasn't on White House letterhead. It was just like some personal stationery. Many say the signature didn't even look like Biden's. It looked like it was pushed out. And everything had happened in such a very strange manner, in such a quick fashion, for him to step aside and then suddenly... And I want you to go back. Stay with me on this, because this is why I really wonder about next week's convention in Chicago. Number one, early on when Kamala Harris is pushed out there to be the, quote, candidate, I think that's the reward. This is my opinion now. This is just, I am just prognosticating a little bit. I'm just trying to connect some dots as I see them. There may be some missing dots, so kind of bear with me. But challenge your memory on the news stories you've heard from multiple sources over the past few weeks, since June the 27th. And I did a radio program shortly after called The Controlled Demolition of Joe Biden. And I still stand by that's what the elites wanted, the controlled demolition of Joe Biden. And in order to pull it off, they needed Kamala Harris's, well, they needed her support. They needed her to play ball. And I believe that she was very emphatic and said, I'll play ball. And I'll be a part of that threat and I'll follow through. But, you know, you better put me on the ticket. You better give me I need my shot at this. And so I believe that what they did was they gave her an opportunity to become a candidate when Joe Biden stepped aside. Honestly, I think that some of Joe Biden's people are looking at how vulnerable she really is, and no matter how much the media lies about how popular suddenly Kamala Harris is and how great the economy is doing, like happy days are here again, you know, the people are not buying it. Except those that have drank the Kool-Aid, so to speak, that believe anything that they're told by Mind Syphilis NBC or ABC or CBS, they are so delusional, they think the transgender, you know, they think that five-year-olds know their gender and should have their bodies butchered accordingly to make it right. These people of reprobate minds believe anything that they're told because they have no wisdom at all left in them. They may have some knowledge, but no wisdom. They can't discern truth, and they willingly believe lies. But I think that Nancy Pelosi may have spilled the beans just a little bit. I'm not sure. You have to wonder if there are those inside the White House that are just kind of, you know, assessing their options with the convention next week. As near as I understand it and have understood it for many, many years, when a person, you know, quote, drops out of a race, all they merely do is suspend their campaign. And there's a reason they suspend their campaign, and that is for legal and financial reasons. They don't cancel it. They don't shut it down. They merely suspend it. And the campaign apparatus and corporation stay intact for a long time to come until they resolve all of their financial and legal issues. The corporation that is set up, the campaign apparatus, sticks around long after the election is over. By suspending a campaign, you can unsuspend it just as quick. There's nothing in the rules that says a person can't say, you want to know something? I'm unsuspending my campaign. I'm back. Now, it could be lawsuits and a lot of other nonsense that goes on. In this litigious society, we can sue over anything. The quality of a ham sandwich and the mustard. I mean, we can do that. I have to wonder, what's going to happen next week? There is no doubt in my mind that there was a significant delay in some of the Democrat apparatus and elites coming on board to acknowledge and endorse Kamala Harris and her run. I believe the staged telephone call with Barack and Michelle Obama talking, you know, to Kamala Harris. Well, yeah, Michelle and I are just so happy for you to be running. And, you know, it was all fake and phony. It made me want to throw up. It was so syrupy. And most people that have a rational mind would be able to tell you that the whole thing was a fraud. Their hearts were not in it. But for the moment, they had to do it to honor their part of the, shall we say, deal with the devil to get rid of Joe Biden. And I think there's a reality beginning to set in among some of the Democrats that, you know, Kamala Harris may not make it over the finish line. There's also something else that has come into the mix, and I've thought about this. Her choice for vice president in Tim Walz has got to be the worst choice for a vice president since the year of 1972. When McGovern chose Tom Eagleton at the convention, and then shortly thereafter they had to have an emergency meeting to remove him as the vice presidential nominee and replace him with Robert Sergeant Shriver, because Eagleton had, shall we say, known mental illness issues that were leaked out and would have sunk the ticket. Of course, it was sunk anyway in 72 and even in 68. Hubert Humphrey didn't even announce his choice for vice president until the convention in 1968, after he was elected on the first ballot. And let's go back to 1968, a very turbulent year. You've got the Vietnam War raging. You've got people angry. You've got protesters in the street. You got protest songs. I mean, the radio is full of these protest songs. And it won't be long before you have Woodstock and even more. I mean, this was an ongoing issue. Unrest on campuses. And then poverty riots in places like Newark, New Jersey, and Detroit, Michigan, and Watts in California. There was a lot of unrest in that time. Martin Luther King assassinated. Robert Kennedy assassinated. And people wondered what kind of future this nation could hold. Robert Kennedy was kind of an odds-on favorite to do at least well in winning the Democrat nomination, and he was assassinated by Sirhan Sirhan, if memory serves me right. But I have to wonder who is really behind the trigger. Was it the deep state? Because, see, Robert F. Kennedy would have been trying to find out what happened to John F. Kennedy in 1963 had he become president. And that is, like they say in the song, the night the lights went out in Georgia, that's one bit of evidence they don't want anybody to ever see or have come to the surface. Now here we are. Chicago once again. The nation is like kindling, dried out and ready to burn. There's economic unrest. We have the potential for the first time in a long time for a World War III. We have proxy wars everywhere. The deep state and the military-industrial complex just biting at the bit to make billions and trillions. We have inflation. Inflation that is just making it so difficult for middle-class families to survive. Look, I feel it here on this program. I'm telling you right now. Many of you have been hurt financially. And I see it in those checks of giving of support each month. They've gone way down. You're there, and you tell me you're there, but I know it's hard on you, and many can't do it. I get it. I understand. We are about to walk into something next week. I don't know, maybe by somebody said this, and it's probably, there's a lot of truth in this. I'm trying to get an accurate answer. The way I understand it, and I don't care what nonsensical garbage you're given by the media, like, well, they had this little virtual vote and they all love Kamala Harris. Well, that's not an official convention vote. Here's what I'm thinking. And this is why I leave this option open next week. I may be totally wrong. Good chance that I am wrong. But I want you to at least consider it. The DNC elite do not like Biden or Kamala. Kamala did her part threatening the 25th Amendment. By the way, just so you understand, and I know I'm running a little over in this segment, the 25th Amendment would allow Biden to be stepped aside and Kamala Harris would assume the presidency, and I'm certain that she would have loved to have done that. That would have given her even a better edge. But that wasn't in the cards. And even so, it still takes additional votes in the House and the Senate to complete the deal. And I think what would have happened is you would have had Biden be pushed aside, Kamala Harris becomes president, and then Biden reascends to the presidency because they can't get it through the House and the Senate. It's not going to work. The numbers, in my opinion, simply were not there. It's not a one-stop deal on the 25th. And if they had invoked it, when they thought about invoking it, you'd have Kamala Harris as president, and then you'd have this convention waiting for the House and the Senate to vote if he's going to remain in power or not. It would have been a mess. And so the best thing to do was just to have him suspend his campaign. But if memory serves me correct, all those delegates are still technically pledged to Joe Biden, at least for the first ballot vote. And there lies the problem. Does Kamala really have those votes? And if they go for Biden and then Biden decides not, do they really have the vote? Could everything be changed next week? Could it end up being Biden? Could it end up being Kamala Harris? Or could it be what I think the elites have wanted, the long shot chance of somebody else entirely? Time will tell. And how many riots and how much the media will really cover what happens in Chicago is anybody's guess. But I can guarantee you this much. It is not going to be any kind of a love fest. Now, when I get back on the other side of this break, I'm going to give some biblical analysis of where I think we're going. There's a massive storm coming, and there's going to be an election meltdown. I really believe we're coming to this really incredible crossroad. It doesn't matter who's on the ticket. It really doesn't. The Democrats can have Biden, it can have Harris, it can have none of the above. And it's still going to be a tumultuous time, November all the way into January. And I'll explain that in a couple of moments. And also I'll share a few thoughts before the end of the program today on ways that we can stay connected when everything explodes in our face. And trust me, it will.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As Truth to Ponder begins its fifth year of ministry, we enter a new era of programs and purpose. Since our inception in the summer of 2020, we have endeavored to bring you accurate and vital news and information. We have worked diligently to expose the political bias and the many lies being told by mainstream media, government officials, social media, and tech giants. Many of the stories we have shared over the past 4 years were once labeled as conspiracy theories. Today, those stories have proven true. Did those who lied to you ever apologize or acknowledge their lies? The answer is obvious. They haven't, and they won't. We are now entering one of the most critical times in the history of our world. Artificial intelligence can monitor much of what we do and say online and report it to both the government and private corporations. Artificial intelligence can create false but convincing propaganda narratives in all forms of media at lightning speed, including video and audio. Sorting truth from propaganda is getting harder to do each day. As part of our new emphasis in these historic times, Truth to Ponder will be partnering with other ministries and news sources to increase the amount of factual and needed information you must have in these troublesome times. To meet this challenge, we will vastly increase our efforts to put all of today's events and news stories in the light of God's world. We will be developing study resources and a platform that does not depend on the internet for delivery. We also pray to increase our radio footprint throughout North America and beyond. To meet this new challenge and to grow, we need your prayerful support now more than ever. Would you let others know about this program? Would you be a monthly partner with us? If you can, visit our website at truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. At our website, you can find out how to support us using Give, Send, Go, a Christian online donation processing organization. That website again, truth2ponder.com. You can also support us by making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. That's Ancient Word Radio. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, spelled C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319. May God richly bless you as you help us spread the truth the world needs to hear.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to part two of our program today. There's a lot on my mind as we talked about my feelings about Chicago this coming week, beginning on Monday the 19th. Will it be a love fest in Chicago with the Democrat National Convention, or is it going to be riots and unrest? I'm having a hard time discerning. I know we're looking at things today, and I really see a storm coming for this nation and the world. There are some people that I follow that have made some pretty accurate predictions, like what would happen in the recession of 2008, you know, Trump winning in 2016, against all odds, the COVID crisis. There's no doubt that the elites of the Democrat Party they couldn't wait to get rid of Biden because they knew he would drag the ticket down. He couldn't win. But then again, I'm not sure. When Biden released that statement on July the 21st saying that he was going to bow out of the race, well, he just suspended the campaign like many others do. And what kind of backroom deal put Kamala Harris into the candidacy, and is she really in it to win it? Or could it all fall apart next week? Hard to say. Will there be more collapsing of the United States dollar? Will there be more violence in the streets? Will there be, the assassination attempt on Donald Trump? There's so much written about that these days. Was that intentional? Was that a failure? Was that supposed to actually happen? And once again, you can say, Bob, you're a conspiracy theorist, but look at Robert F. Kennedy, look at John F. Kennedy. There are too many unanswered questions that they refuse to answer, because if they do, the truth is revealed, and the truth is something they can't have the American people ever receive. There's going to be, I think, a lot of financial turmoil coming up. They can only, in my opinion, keep it, well, juggled in the air a little while longer, but there are more shall we say, things to juggle jumping into the mix, and it's not going to be easy much longer. What was it, about a week ago? Markets lost a lot of money. People lost a lot of money, but the market recovered. Did the people recover? Not necessarily. Once again, I'm learning something about economics. I learned a lot in high school and college, but there are a few things I never really understood until the last 20 years in particular. How the money system works. All new money that comes into circulation is nothing but debt. We have the Federal Reserve. Hey, we need more money for the American people. Okay, we'll lend it to you. It's all new debt. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, look at some of the pricing. Someone shared something the other day, and I want to just quickly, it showed they were born in like 1949 in some hospital, maybe, yeah, 1949, and the mother had had a cesarean section and was in the hospital for 8 days. 8 days. Gave birth, C-section, recuperation in the hospital, and the baby being cared for. For 8 days, it came out to $79. $79, that was the hospital bill. Now, somebody pointed out with inflation, that would be more like $1,000-some-odd American today. Can you imagine going to the hospital for 8 days for only $1,000? Not in your dreams. What I'm saying is that our money has become worth less. And that's why I see a storm coming, a massive storm coming. There's a payday. And this storm is going to be coming worldwide, in my opinion. Others are writing about the same thing. We see governments having to tax more and more. We see inflation eating up the money we have. Gold used to be in 1971, around there, was $35 an ounce. I can remember when I got married, I bought a wedding band. 1975 was like $100, and that was a lot of money. $100. Just the gold in it today was worth over $3,000 in that wedding band. $3,000 at today's gold prices. And the quality of gold that ring was made from, you can't even really get much anymore today. The world has been fed lie after lie after lie. Children have been denied a good education. They are no longer learning the world. They're learning video games. They're learning social media. They're learning political nonsense. The churches, many have gone apostate, as I've mentioned before. Some are so concerned about keeping the numbers up, they compromise. Somebody wrote a while back, and I'll just say it again, that you know there are a lot of apostate churches. There are a lot of churches that are deep into entertainment, and they're not really pushing hard enough on the gospel to get it through to people's minds. We have food in our stores that, as far as I'm concerned, is toxic waste compared to the stuff we were fed 50 years ago. The world is ready for a shaking. And I really believe that God is going to allow a major shaking this year and into next. And I really believe the church world is not as ready as they should be. I had somebody write, and I mentioned this earlier in another program, that you talk about a lot of, you know, apostate churches. I guess you're saying that we shouldn't go to church, and I'm going, nothing of the kind. You know, we have all kind of technology today. We even have Google, whether you like them or not. If you're trying to find a Bible-believing church, it really can be done. You really can find one if you really want to look for one. But some people are content, and I would almost bet that this individual, probably shouldn't bet, but I would just surmise it is a better than even chance that this individual has found a reason not to go to church. And so, well, you're saying not to go to church. Well, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying find a Bible-believing church. There are plenty of apostate churches out there, but guess what? I can find in my little community here in Virginia. I can find down in Florida and anywhere I go, I can find a Bible-believing church. It doesn't take but a matter of minutes and asking a few questions. And you know where not to start. It's not hard at all. We are going to come into a time, and I'm going to be spending a lot of time with this topic later this week. There's somebody I'm trying to get as a guest on the program at some point. Whether I get him or not, he's overseas, so sometimes the time difference can be a problem in putting these programs together. There is true evil in this world. There's no doubt in my mind. And we can sit and watch the politics all day long. Will our politics fix our issues? I don't think so. I think all it does, it delays the inevitable. I was thinking the other day of young family members, you know, that I don't see that often. And you wonder how they're being raised today. You know, we have a generation of kids that have been born from the late 90s into the early 2000s. Their entire life is Netflix and social media and TikTok and Instagram and Facebook to a degree. They're moving on from that, leaving Facebook behind to the old geezers like me. Not that I really care about it. I use it to kind of get a pulse on the nation and to keep in touch with some people. Our schools have, I saw something the other day. You know, back in my day, to get a B in high school, you had to have better than an 80%. 80% for a B. And a C was basically over 70%, and a D, which was failing. In some schools, mine it was failing, you had to be over 60. Well, now they've lowered that number where a B can start at 60%. You get an A when you get to 75%. I mean, they have lowered the standards. And so we have a bunch of A students, we have a bunch of B and C students that are, and a C student can basically have a 45. They can have 55% of the answers wrong and still pass. In some schools, as low as 20, you can only you just get 25% right, you'll pass. Then we wonder about between food and the stuff we've done to our children. We wonder why they are rebellious. Well, they've always been rebellious. I was rebellious. We all were. But they seem to have another layer of issues. And I guess when you keep them away from God's word, wholesome food, if you allow them pornography, garbage, and filth into their minds from Netflix and television, and people giving more and more money to pay for subscriptions to this vileness, this, you get what you pay for. I believe we're coming into a time of shaking. I believe we're going to see some of it next week. Look, it may not go as bad as I think it can in Chicago, but I'm just saying the possibility, the ingredients, and everything, the setup for a perfect storm is there. Whether it comes together or not, I can't tell you. But I can tell you that next week is going to be the beginning of a very turbulent time. You know, Jamie Raskin, congressman, made a statement that ought to warn you. Let's assume that the pundits are right. And regardless of what the Democrats do, whether they go with Joe, Kamala, or somebody else, that they lose and Trump wins, there's some strategery, as it was once said, going on in the background, that they'll still try to use lawfare to keep Trump from taking office. And even Jamie Raskin's, because, you know, once again, some of these fools in Congress can't keep their mouth shut. They're trying to find a way to make sure that if Trump wins, he cannot take office. And let me tell you, if that were to happen, and he said it, it came out of his own mouth, we will find a way to make sure that he does not take office. Remember the words of Joe Biden. We will find a way that he will never resume power, you know, assume power. We will make sure he does not assume power. And they don't care if it's a fair election and he wins. And even if they try to steal it and they still lose, they are going to be like demons, screaming, bitterly fighting to make sure that he never gets back into the White House. Whether you like Trump or not is irrelevant. The demonic party will not let go of power because they have an agenda they want to force upon you and the entire world. And today's Democrat Party is nothing more than a part of the New World Order. If you believe in our mission and ministry, please visit our website, truth2ponder.com. You can support us from there using Give, Send, Go. Or please, this week, make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowee, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510-510, Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319. That's Chilhowee, Virginia, 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.